Turn our Bibles to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8, and we'll read a few verses over there. We've been doing a Bible study this year on 7 foundations for healthy living. We've missed a lot of church because of the weather, sickness, things like that. So we're on lesson number 6. It's what we're on tonight. This is the 6th lesson. And so we're going to read in Luke chapter number 8 and verses 43 through 44. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. And we're just going to start out tonight just sort of a devotional thought about your health and end up that way as well. Just going to look at a few things tonight. But Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 43, the Bible said, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." That's what the Bible says. Verse 43 and 44, that's what I wanted to read. You ought to try to be the preacher. And I read those verses and then wondered what I'd read. And you get a lot on your mind and thinking about things. But that is the verses I wanted to read to begin with tonight. I was looking at it earlier and thinking about it and just thinking about this thought. How important is your health? How important is your health? Here's a woman in the Bible. And really, we don't know anything about her. Now, this is mentioned in Matthew, I believe, and here in the book of Luke, maybe even in the book of Mark. But I know at least one other place in the Bible, but we don't know anything about her. We don't know if she's a wife, a mother, maybe a grandmother. We don't know if she's a young woman, an older woman. We don't know if she's rich, if she's poor. We don't know if she's righteous or unrighteous. We just don't know anything about her except what we find in these couple of verses here. And all that we learn here, the first thing that we learn about her, verse number 42, or verse number 43, it said a woman having an issue of blood. So she had a sickness. She had an infirmity. The Bible says that she'd had it for 12 years. She had been sick a long time. And sometimes we have sicknesses that last a long time. And so here's a woman. She's been sick for 12 years. She is what I would call doctor dependent. She's going to the doctor all the time. Say, "Preacher, how do you know she's going to the doctor all the time, which had spent all her living upon physicians?" That's more than one. She'd been to one doctor. She'd been to another. She'd probably been to all of them. And as a result of that, she had spent all her living. She's sick. She's sick a long time. She's gone to the doctor. She spent all the money that she has. Now she's sick and she's broke and she's still sick. It'd be one thing if you went to the physician and it cost a lot and you got better. But here's a woman went to the physician's. 12 years, spent all she had, she still could not be healed. And that's what we learn about this woman from the Bible. And I want to say, now, there's some religious groups. There's some different ones out there that do not go to the doctor at all. They don't believe in going to the doctor. They don't believe in medicine. I just don't see where you can get that from the Bible. I don't believe there's anything wrong with going to the doctor. If you need to go to the doctor, by all means, go to the doctor. So I don't want anybody to think that I would promote that or be preaching that you should never go to the doctor or that you shouldn't take medicine or anything like that. If you need to go, go. But I would say that we need to wean ourselves as much as possible from being doctor dependent. Going all the time. You know, I'm talking about as a society, we go because it's available. A lot of people in a lot of countries, they rarely ever go to the doctor. It's just not as available to them as it is to us. And so we get used to, and it becomes a way of life, getting sick, going to the doctor, getting sick, going to the doctor. I was talking with Sister Shirley the other day, and her mom, I don't think she'd mind me telling this, she, of course, another generation. She's got all these remedies and things that she'll prescribe, you know, if you get sick. And I told Sister Shirley, I said, you better be writing some of that stuff down. You better not forget about some of these things that the older people used to use when they couldn't go to the doctor and they didn't have anything else. And they had remedies and they had things that they'd try, and a lot of them worked. And so I said, you better be writing and remembering some of these things. We might need them in the days ahead. But our health is very important. I don't believe if we can help it, we ought to get in a habit of being doctor dependent or even medicine dependent. A lot of times you can go to the doctor, you can get a pill for something, but if you'll do a little effort, if you'll do a little study, you can get around that or get weaned off of things. I know a lot of people. My mom could testify about staying off of high blood pressure by a few different things she's done through the years. Went and they said you need to go on it, and she can share her own remedies for it or whatever, but she's stayed off of high blood pressure medicine all these years. And a lot of times it just takes us learning and doing a little bit different in our lifestyle. And so our health is important. And I want to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn over there. Thinking about our health. I'm just thinking about this woman today. And that's what she was known for. If we're not careful, we can just get known for. You know, that's all we learn about her is that she was sick. And we get to a certain place in our lives where if we're sick enough, that's all we're known for is being sick. And so thank the Lord she went to the Lord Jesus and he healed her. That's a blessing. But then I was studying over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12. And here's a great principle for us to live by. The Apostle Paul, if you've got a Scofield Bible, it says Paul's principles of action at the beginning of chapter number 1. How he lived his life and the principles that he lived by in his life. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12. There's a phrase in there I wanted to point out tonight. He said this to the Corinthians, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward." I think that'd be a good principle for us as well to try to live our lives by, where he said this, in simplicity and godly sincerity. And then he said this after that, not with fleshly wisdom. Not with fleshly wisdom. There is a lot of fleshly wisdom. There's a lot of worldly wisdom out here. And we hear it so much, if we're not careful, we begin to think that that's the only wisdom that there is. But you know, the best things are simple things. And that's how Paul's ministry was, with simplicity, he said, and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. Health. When we study about our health, when we think about our health and what the Bible says, health in and of itself is not a complicated matter. It's really a simple thing. Sickness is a complicated matter. I told somebody the other day, I said, somebody close to me, I felt like I could be honest with, I said, you better watch your health. If you lose it, it's a whole lot harder to get back healthy. It's a whole lot easier to stay healthy and maintain and do good things, do what the Bible says, than to abuse ourselves, get sick, and then try to. That's a complicated thing. And so health is a simple thing. Sickness is a complicated thing. Health is not an expensive matter, but people say, well, I can't afford to eat healthy. You can't afford to be sick. We've talked about that before. And so, to strive in our Christian lives to live lives of simplicity, godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. And so I'm just going to give quickly the seven things, the seven foundations for healthy living to begin with tonight. We've said already, we've looked at air, water, those two things. Food, number three, we looked 2 weeks. We studied about diets in the Bible. Then number four, we're going to look at sunshine. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Exercise, rest, and faith. That is the seven foundations of healthy living that we find in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter number 2. Well, tonight we're going to look at sunshine. And the reason I read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12, where he said, not with fleshly wisdom. I know what fleshly wisdom would say about sunshine. If you begin to talk about the sunshine in your health, the world says this about sunshine. The world says the sun is bad for you. Does it not? Well, the sun's bad for you. Better stay out of the sun. Better cover up. Don't go out in the sun. Wear a hat. Wear a long sleeve. All these things. Cover up from head to toe. And if you have to go out in the sun, you need to lather up with homosalate, octisalate, oxybenzone, avobenzone. You ever read the ingredients of what's on sunscreen? That's what that is. And as I've studied about this more so, and of course I had already looked into some of these things, but there's a lot of things in sunscreen, believe it or not, that is cancer-causing agent. So they say you better put on sunscreen or you'll get cancer, but if you really look at the ingredients and some of the chemicals is in there, if you use that, you might get cancer. So, boy, it's like paying taxes. There's no way to win. There's no way to get out of it, seems like. And so you hear this fleshly wisdom from the world, and we're told all these things about how bad the sun is and all these things about how we need to do to stay out of the sun. But in spite of all that, now I believe the dermatologist's office does a pretty good business. Cutting things off and cutting things out and lasering and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying not to go and get, if you got whatever they say needs to be cut off, I'm not saying not to. But it seems like in spite of all the warnings and everything, that there's no lessening of all the ailments, skin cancers, all of the other types of cancers that people have. The cancer centers of America and the hospitals are full. And every week we hear about somebody else that has cancer of some kind. Preacher Carl said it was a last day's plague. I remember him saying that more than one time, that there'd never be a cure for it. I don't know if there'll ever be a cure for it, but I know this, there's a lot of people sick. There's a lot of people with all kinds of ailments. In fact, we're plagued with every ailment under the sun. No pun intended there, but people are sick. I believe people are sicker today than they were just a few years ago when I was growing up. Just a lot of sickness, a lot of going to the doctors and things. And so people are plagued by different ailments. I'm going to look at the sunshine tonight in three different ways. Spiritually, mentally, and physically, what the Bible says about sunshine. Number one, we're going to look spiritually. Now, if you just think about it tonight, and I believe the Bible's the inspired Word of God, when the Bible says a direct statement or a comparison, this is the inspired Word of God. It means something to me. Nothing is in the Bible by accident. And so if I'm going to look at the subject of sunshine, do you think tonight that sun or light in the Bible is going to be characterized as good or bad. Light in the Bible is good. Darkness is bad. So that makes me think right off the bat that maybe sunshine, that God meant it for our good, not for our bad. I'm just saying, if I study the Bible, what does the Bible say spiritually about the sun? This is the first verse that came to my mind. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the sun," capital S-U-N, "shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." That is comparing the Lord to the sun. That he will come, and when he comes as the sun of righteousness, he will come with healing in his wings. So the Bible makes a comparison between the Son and the Lord. And as he comes, that he will come with healing in his wings. Look at Psalms chapter 67. We're going to look at a few verses here. We're not going to run all over the place tonight, but just to point out and give some examples of what the Bible says, some spiritual comparisons of the Lord and the Son. Psalms chapter number 67. If you got a Scofield Bible, it's page 630. Psalms chapter number 67 is just a real short psalm. It's just seven verses. We're going to look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible said there, "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us." Shine is in the sun shine. Selah, stop and think about that. "That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations." And so there again we have a comparison in the Bible between the Lord and shining and health. I'm just saying sun and light and shining is in a good light in the Bible. It's a good thing. Now look at Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter number 84, verse number 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." So in the Bible, the Lord is compared to the sun. The sun is a good thing. John chapter 1, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." You just think about light, you think about sun, you go out and you stand in the sunshine. I don't know about other people, but it makes me think about the Lord. Light makes me think about the Lord. The Bible said in John chapter number 1, "Men love darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. So light in the Bible is good. Darkness in the Bible is representative of that which is evil, being in spiritual darkness, and on we could go with several different examples. In Genesis chapter 1, on the fourth day, that's when God created the sun, the moon, and he made the stars also, the Bible says. Verse number 18, when God saw the sun, the moon, the stars that he had created, the Bible says, "And God saw that it was good." And so spiritually in the Bible, sun is good. Light is good. And that's what the Word of God says. Now, what's the world say? The world says the sun is bad. And that you need to stay out of the sun. And that you need to cover up and hide from the sun. We need to remember that in this whole world economy, that there is still a God of this world, a little g. And so we ought to, if we have discretion and wisdom, we ought to at least be suspect of fleshly wisdom. We ought to be suspect when the world comes along and says, "Now this is the way it needs to be," especially when it's contrary to the way it's always been. I wonder, now, and I'm just going to mention this, the latest fad is all this antibacterial hand stuff. I mean, just in the past few years. And at first that seems like, boy, that's really good. That's the best thing it ever was. And so a few years ago, nobody ever had anything like that. Now everybody got it in their purse, got it in their pocket. Yeah, everywhere you go. That'll probably turn out one of these days to be bad. Probably turn out to be bad for us to be doing that. And I'm saying when the world comes along, we need to be suspect of worldly or fleshly wisdom. So spiritually, light is a good thing. Sun is a good thing. Mentally, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. So you got Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes, King Solomon. He was an expert observationist. He really knew how the world worked. He's the wisest man upon the earth. God gave him a heavenly wisdom, a divine wisdom, King Solomon did. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, we see some of his observations that he had made about life. And give you just a moment to turn there, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. So spiritually, sun is good. It's compared to the Lord. Mentally, sunshine is good. Look what Solomon said. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. I don't think I'd have to read a study, although there have been studies that have been done, but I don't think I'd have to read that tonight to prove to us that a little sunshine makes you feel better. It just improves your attitude. It proves the way you feel. We all know how that is. It can be cloudy. It can be dark and dreary for just a few days. 3 days, overcast. Rain, boy, people get depressed. They get down. We get short. And but you let the sun come out. And just immediately, everybody, boy, doesn't that look good? Boy, I'm glad to see the sunshine. It lifts you up. Mentally, it makes you feel better. God gave the sun. God said it's good. And it affects us. He made the sun. He made us. He knows us better than we know even our own selves. Sunshine and warmth and study after study has been done to show the effect of sunlight upon, I've told you about how when we lived out in Idaho, and especially places up north where they don't have as much sunlight in the wintertime, they have a lot of what they call seasonal affective disorder, which in the wintertime people get depressed. And they say, they've studied it out, the reason they get depressed is the lack of sunlight hours. They just don't get out in the sun. Well, instead of saying you need to get out in the sun, they prescribe for it. Prescribe for it. And you can take vitamin D, which we get from the sun, but it's not the same. But anyway, it's been proven that sunlight has a positive effect upon us mentally. Let's just read verse number 9. What is Solomon talking about here? He contrasts light and darkness. He said, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Notice he's talking here about some things. He's talking about cheer and rejoicing in verse number 9. Walk in the sight of thine eyes. Verse 10, "Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart." Our mental outlook affects our physical outlook. Attitude plays a whole lot in our physical health. And so we find this principle in the Bible. Proverbs 15 verse 13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." If you get down mentally, you get down depressed, it'll break you down physically. It'll affect you physically. And as I was studying about this, I got to thinking about my grandmother Greer. I grew up close to them and spent a whole lot of time in my younger years. Go down there. She loved to be outside. She loved to be in her flowers. She's always a very jolly person, sing all the time. But when she got older, she had something happen in her eyes, and the sunlight bothered her eyes. So she began to sit around. You'd go down there, and she'd have all the curtains drawn, be sitting in there in the middle of the day. Used to sit out on the porch all the time, walk up and down the road, just loved to be outside. But when that happened to her and she started sitting in the dark, sitting in the middle of the daytime, go down there, it affected her in more ways. That jolliness left. When she began to sit in the dark, everything was dark. She hurt more. She was sick more. I mean, what a change. Light is good for us. And you even look, you make a spiritual application. And I mentioned it a minute ago, but you look at the part of society that just comes out at night, or that is fascinated with what's dark and dreary, and the goth and the black and the white face, and that's never healthy. Those people never look healthy, do they? They always look like they're about to fall over. Sun is good. Mentally for us, spiritually for us. Thirdly tonight, and last of all, physically for us. As I study the Word of God, in anything you study, you will be amazed. Pick out one little thing, and this is not an in-depth. I realize study tonight. Probably not going to learn anything new. You say, well, I already knew most of that. But the psalmist said in Psalms 139:14, he said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." The more I study about anything in the Bible, the more amazed I am at the wisdom of God in His creation. I mean, God knew what He was doing. God still knows what He was doing, but man comes along and we insert our fleshly wisdom and we tend to mess things up. And a lot of times just cause ourselves more harm than good. Even people trying to do good and thinking to. Sunshine is important. I'm just going to give you a few things physically tonight. Maybe you already know this, but it's just amazing how God created us. Sunshine is important because we get vitamin D from the sunshine. Vitamin D is very important to our health. Technically speaking, we really don't get vitamin D from the sunshine. What we get is through what's called the UVB rays. There's UVA and UV, but ultraviolet. The light from the sun shines upon our skin. It is absorbed through our skin and carried to our liver. And our liver converts it into vitamin D and takes it to our kidneys, and it is used in our body through that process. Isn't that amazing? You got to get that from the sun. But your body makes it when our bodies are exposed to the sunshine. So it's really an amazing thing. And vitamin D in our bodies does many, many things, but it has to be made usable by our bodies. The good news about it is that it only takes a few minutes to get what you need from the sun. So don't anybody go out and say, you know, I'm going to be a professional suntan person and That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you got to lay out all summer long in order, just a few minutes. Everything I read said about 20 minutes, maybe three times a week. You would get enough vitamin D for your body to use, and it would be good and beneficial for you. It's not good to burn ourselves, sunburn. If you've ever been sunburnt real bad, you know that's not good for you. If something hurts that bad, it's not good for you. The tanning beds are not good for you. It's not the same thing. And so we need to have some sense about these things. Not all sunscreen is bad. There are good. There are sunscreens that have that don't have the toxic chemicals in them. So you gotta need to do some homework about these things. But you do need some sunshine up on your skin. The bad news is most people, and you can read so much about this, you could spend a whole week studying about it, but most people are vitamin D deficient. And they're beginning to think that this is a reason for a lot of the modern day sicknesses that we have. And if you think about it, we live inside where once upon a time we spent more time outside. But now you can spend a whole lot more time inside than outside. You stay inside in the wintertime because that's where the heat is. You spend time on the inside in the summertime because that's where the air conditioning is. And we get so used to being inside, we can't stand to be outside. But being outside is good for you. Fresh air, exercise, sunshine, these things are good for us. I read a study by the Harvard Medical School. And it said, vitamin D in your health, breaking old rules, raising new hopes. And it said this, vitamin D deficiencies were rare when most men rolled up their sleeves to work in sunny fields. See, our lifestyle has changed. Why are we sicker than just a generation or two ago? Well, we do things different. Could it be as simple as just being deficient in sunshine? Wouldn't that be amazing? No, it's got to be more complicated than that. Remember, we studied about water a few weeks ago. Most people don't drink enough water. Could it be that simple that just some things about us, why don't the Amish get sick like we get sick? We looked at that. Could it be that simple? Paul said simplicity and godly sincerity. Not with fleshly wisdom. Vitamin D is good for you. Most people are vitamin D deficient. I found all kinds of information. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this just a minute. I'm just going to read some of the articles I did look over and find. 9 ways the sunshine can boost our health. And some of this is from Harvard Medical School. Some of it's from alternative, natural health news sites, and so a wide variety. Is sunshine a miracle cure? Why you shouldn't shun the sun? Try saying that 5 times real fast. Why you shouldn't shun the sun? 10 reasons why sun is good for our health, sunshine and mental health. 15 reasons why the sun is good for you, and on and on and on. And this is just in the past few years, this change of mind about, you know, we might need some sunshine. It might be why we have so many sicknesses. Here's some of them. Sunshine cheers you up. 2, reduces heart disease. 3, prevents diabetes. And all of this had studies linked to it, and I'm not going to get into all that. 4, beats SAD, seasonal affective disorder, which is depression from lack of sunlight. Helps prevent MS, multiple sclerosis. Prevents cavities. Vitamin D is very important to our bones being strong. Your teeth, your bones. Vitamin D was discovered in 1920. And they were trying to figure out how to cure children from rickets. Rickets was a bad childhood disease. And they found out that if they begin to fortify milk with vitamin D, and you go today and get milk fortified with vitamin D, and rickets is just about unheard of. Rickets and bone disease. You have to have vitamin D. Makes your bones strong, makes your teeth strong, relieves aches and pains, reduces risks of cancers, especially breast and prostate cancer, boosts fertility, gives more energy, eases IBD, that's bowel disorders, helps skin conditions, psoriasis, acne, eczema, things like that, boosts your immune system, helps lose weight, it makes higher levels of serotonin be in your body, and that suppresses your appetite. We all know in the wintertime, I don't know about anybody else, I tend to put on a few pounds. Because all you want to do is sit around and eat all winter long. But you get out in the sunshine, in the summertime, you get outside and you can start doing something. I don't want to stay inside and eat all the time. So it's good for you. Many, many ways it's good for you. And I know this is a little bit different studying along these lines, but I hope you're getting something from it. I've went back to this just about every week. In closing, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "For whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. Why? And we're taking a few weeks just to think about our health. Last week, I didn't get to go to the meeting down at Anchor. I wanted to, but I just couldn't get away one day to go down there. But I did watch some of it online. They had the whole week online. And Brother Ray Aiken, he's an older preacher. I got to see him online preach one morning. And Brother Aiken has Parkinson's disease now. And he told about it when he got up there. And how that it had affected him. And sometimes he'd be preaching and maybe you could just tell, start stuttering, have a problem, but he said that's the way it was with Parkinson's. But I was listening to that message, and he said something in that message that I wrote down. He said, "Give your best to the master while you have your health. Give your best to the master while you have your health." Because he said, young men, he said, the day will come. Your mind won't be as sharp. You won't be able to go. You won't be able to do. He said, you better take care of yourself. Here's an older preacher giving out some advice. He said, you better give your best to the master while you have your health. And I thought from somebody whose health was failing, that's pretty good advice. We ought to pay attention to advice like that. The time might come when you and I do not have the health that we have today. The time could come to any of us. But I don't, and if that comes in my life, I don't want to say, I wish I had done this or I wish I'd done that. We ought to want to do all we can while we can. And last as long as we can. It ought to be our desire. But it takes some effort. And I can say that tonight because what's it been now? Abigail's 17, been 16 years ago. I laid in the hospital over there, and they didn't know what was wrong with me. And boy, you talk about a crisis of soul. And I laid there, and I thought to myself, what if I can't preach anymore? What if I have some awful disease? I mean, you're laying there, and you can't get your breath, and they don't know what's wrong. And what if this is it for me? And that's an awful feeling. It's an awful feeling. So I'm glad I went through that. I appreciate the health that I have. I want to try to keep it as long as I can. That ought to be our desire. Because once it's gone, it's hard to get back. So if we could take just a little bit of this along that we're studying and apply it in our lives and extend the quality of our lives for the glory and the honor of the Lord, I believe it'd be worth it. I really believe it would. So I appreciate your good attention. And I know we come tonight, seemed like got a lot on our hearts. A lot to pray about and a lot to think about. So let's remember one another as we leave tonight and as we come back on Sunday, that the Lord would meet with us and that He would speak to our hearts and be glorified, and that His will would be done. Let's pray about revival. Let's pray for souls to be saved.